couple of questions here, Matt. Should we be praying against the demons in different areas, like Wagner does?
I don't think God gives us the eyes to know where Satan is working. In other words, I personally have a real problem with saying that, you know, this is a satanic area, that's a satanic area. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's everywhere working. And I think instead of just trying to say, well, you know, we're going to tell the demons of the cinema to leave or whatever. I can't think of a good illustration, but I don't think that way. My theology is not fixed that way. I think Satan is very real. He's out there. He's working all the time. And just in the time, you know, at the time of Jesus, you got people who are demon-possessed, but you have a whole crew of religious bigots who are just as possessed by the demon as those other people were. You know, the Pharisees were far more wicked than some of those prostitutes and all the rest that Jesus was nailing and, you know, continually calling people to repentance. And so I think we just continually have to pray that God would triumph and that it's through his word. And so I think if Christians focus, instead of focusing on the negative, we have to focus on the power of Christ and what he can do.
Mm-hmm. So. Can you share a word on to those who are constantly trying to pray, to read, to stop bad habits, to stand, and yet are constantly failing?
Keep on keeping on. That's the best advice to begin with. First of all, persevere. Keep on keeping on. But I think, again, it really comes down to eventually we have to come to realize how wicked our heart is. That our heart, even though we're saved and we believe that Christ has washed our sins away, our stark heart still has this propensity to love what is evil and to hate what is good. And we need to continually be saying, Lord, change my heart. Every day, Lord, change my heart. Because my heart wants to run to evil, and yet I love Jesus and I want to love him more. And so it's that sort of thing. It's just a constant putting to death of ourselves, putting to death my wants, my wishes, in making Christ's wants and his wishes and his word, what it says, as a priority. So it's really, as Paul says, I die daily. You know, when we study Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And so it's constantly, self has to die, Christ has to be the one that is being exalted, and it only comes again through deliberate taking of action to do it. And I mean, you know, I'm getting up there in years, and the battle's still on. It's going to be on till the day we die. Mm-hmm. But we've just got to take hold of the resources that are found in Christ and not in ourselves.
Is there an aspect of that maybe that of sharing it with other people at all, sort of like an aspect of accountability, you know, like
Definitely. I think, first of all, the person who is closest to you, in other words, I think husbands and wives need to be radically honest with each other. And I think God gives a husband and a wife to each other for that very purpose. I mean, when you are married, you start to learn things about yourself you never saw before. And so I think that's where it starts. That's why Christian marriage is so important. Christians ought to marry Christians. It's going to be a lot harder if you marry an unbeliever. But then you can even move beyond that to some very close friends. I don't think Christians should always just be hanging out all the dirty laundry. Mm-hmm. But I think there are certain persons that you have confidence in, and maybe there's that open door. But I think, first of all, it has to start with husbands and wives if you're married. Mm-hmm. If you're not married, a very close personal friend where you trust one another. But it's not just... Sometimes I think Christians can tend to hang out their dirty laundry because it makes them feel better. Well, there's other people sinning, so I kind of just keep on with my sin. Mm. That's dangerous. Mm. You know, we need to hold each other accountable in that sense. So if a person is sharing with somebody else, ask them to hold you accountable. Mm.
Yeah, I guess what I was just saying is, like, you know, if the person that obviously asked this question seemed to have this genuine, I want to change, but I keep failing. But if you sort of getting kept accountable, I guess over. Yeah. A time frame, you know, people consider.
Tim, a verse that has really helped me through the years. The Bible says that the Lord is not finished with us. Now I just forgot the verse. It's terrible. But having begun a good work in you, He will carry it on to the end. And so I believe that the Lord does, you know, change. And I hopefully, if I look, you know, from time to time, we have to do a spiritual inventory. Look back 5 years and say, has there been progress? If there hasn't been progress, maybe you need to, you know, really do some heart searching again. But hopefully over 5 years, 10 years, you can see some progress that's happening.
Mm. Cool. Somebody said, preach it, brother. Capital letters too, so I should have said it a bit louder. If God is sovereign, why should I worry about Satan?
God's sovereignty makes every one of us responsible. A lot of people think sovereignty makes us escape responsibility. It doesn't, because he's sovereign. A sovereign is a king, and a king is sovereign, but he still has a right to demand of every one of his subjects what he expects of them, and that's exactly the way God's sovereignty works. God is absolutely in control of all things, but he still holds every one of us who've been made in his image responsible to him. And so, that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out in terms of who we are. If we just say, well, God's sovereign, I don't have to do anything about it, then I'm denying the fact that I've been made in the image of God. The fact that I've been made in his image makes me responsible as well. And so we can never hide behind the sovereignty of God.
Okay. How did God protect Jesus, the infant, from the evil one before Jesus became aware of who he was, not just as human, but the Son of God?
I hope I got that question right. I think
do you want me to say it again?
Yeah, go ahead.
How did God protect Jesus, the infant, from the evil one before Jesus became aware of who he was, not just as human, but the Son of God?
Well, he got him out of Bethlehem in time before Herod's crew got there. That's an example right there. Mm-hmm. He put him in a Christian home. And I think from the time that Jesus started to develop in his understanding as a person, that Mary was telling him all about what happened, his birth and everything else. And by the time he was 12 years old, he knew the scriptures better than the people in Jerusalem at the temple. So it shows that Jesus understood. I don't think it was just suddenly all poured in, just the fact that he was God-man. But I think Jesus learned, but he learned without ever sinning. And it's because he was the Son of God. But he still went through all the human struggles that we go through, but he just never sinned. And the same with the learning process. I believe Jesus just had a hunger for the Word of God as a child, and he just kept filling himself and realizing more and more a sense of his calling, and then have a mom tell him about everything that had happened with the angels, Jesus grew up with that realization, but it was still growing into it. It says he learned obedience in the book of Hebrews. He learned it by the fact that he went through the same struggles we did. Thankfully, he never fell.
Okay. Last question. If I'm a regular attender at Joel Osteen's church, am I a real Christian?
Well, Joel Osteen always says, I can't judge the heart. That's why he said on Larry King. If you believe, I don't think a person, personally, I'm going to just put myself on the line here. I don't think, if I read what Osteen says correctly, I don't think he understands the gospel. And so if a person is going there and they only hear what Osteen is preaching, they've never understood the gospel, because you have to know that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. Mm-hmm. And if they never hear that, I don't see how they can be saved. Now, God can still work outside of Joel Osteen, thank the Lord, and he can still work through his Bible, the Bible that may very well be opened or whatever. But I think, again, if you're gonna feed on that sort of stuff all your life, you're never really going to mature, because the Christian life is hard knocks. Christian life is suffering. It's not just a life of ease and health and wealth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, the Lord's got Christians in all kinds of churches. I mean, thankfully, he still has them scattered there. Some churches are more or less pure, is the way the Reformers put it, I think that's what we have to acknowledge. The Lord may still find a Christian, in certain churches that we would say they've really gone down the tubes, but that's the Lord's business in that sense. But I think our job is to preach the word.
Cool. Well, thanks, Dave. Hopefully he answered your questions how you wanted him to. We've got lunch out there afterwards, so that'll give you some time to come up and pick his brain and have a chat. We'll chat to each other about it. We're just going to finish with a song on Christian Soldiers.